Welcome back to another episode of Gossip That's Good For You. I am Molly, and I am coming to you guys from New York City.
And I'm Denise, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. And get ready for your weekly dose of gossip that's good for you. Oh my gosh. Okay. I would just want to start off by saying it is 90 degrees in Los Angeles today. It is so hot. I'm so upset.
No way.
When you said you were going Christmas tree shopping today, like I felt like a visceral anger in my body that I can't even explain because it is so hot. I want it to be fall. And I know people complaining about like the good weather in California is annoying, but disgusting. It's disgusting.
No, that's awful. And honestly, it's warm here today. I mean, it's been like 65, which is beautiful, but you're like, no, it is supposed to be cold. I still have not put on my scarf and gloves and hat like I typically would have by now. And I know we talk about the weather a lot, but it's like really affects us.
No, it's really affecting us. And I do honestly also feel like I saw someone posting about how everyone this year feels like they're complaining about daylight savings time, and they are, but I don't know if it's because last year we were stuck inside. So like maybe I didn't notice the time change. Like, and it's been a while. So it's been like a full year of not recognizing it, but at least, and also in LA now it gets dark at 5 o'clock.
Right.
So it's like, I feel like I have to walk my dog now, like by 4:30 and be home because of the boogeyman that are outside, I guess, after when it gets dark outside. But like,
yeah, no, I pick up the baby at 5:30 and I always walk. And like this week I was like, wait a second. It's kind of dark. Should I walk or should I drive? But I mean,
no, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Are you putting up your Christmas tree? Or did you just buy it today?
Okay. So the Christmas tree purchase failed, of course.
No. Wait, what do you mean?
I mean, I always grew up with a real tree. And for some reason now we have a fake tree, and Tommy had one from like when he was first like single again, and it's like really tiny. And I was like, no, I need like a bigger tree. So with the baby, I also don't want to get a real tree because the pine needles.
You can pull it.
Yeah. Anyways, we went to Michael's because we saw there was a sale and we thought we got the tree we wanted. We go into the car and realized it was the wrong one. So like they just didn't display things correctly. The girl didn't check. I guess we didn't check. So we went right back in and returned it. And now also it's Veterans Day that we're recording this. So it was mayhem everywhere.
Oh my God.
So I'm going to have to go. I'm going to try Target and I need someone to come with me. Like I can't buy a tree alone with a baby. It's too big of a item to haul into the car. I don't know. I'm pretty good at figuring stuff out when I want to get it done, but yeah. So don't be so jealous because the tree purchase failed.
Why are you going? Well, also I applaud you for going in person to buy this. I'm like, can't you just buy it online?
I am an in-person shopper. Like
I forgot that about you. You love malls.
I love malls. I love shopping. I've shopped for a living before. Doing stuff online is really hard for me. And I hope that by the time I die, there are still brick and mortar stores to go into because shopping online is awful. I do it, but I hate it.
I forgot that about you. You do love shopping in person.
Love it. And I can do it for 8 hours. I have done it for 10 hours without hesitation. I love it and I'm good at it. So
that is incredible. No, I think that is. And like, I've gotten too used to shopping online. It feels like sometimes when the packages come, it's like Christmas, you're like, oh, but mm-hmm. You know, there is something like, cause I was going to say that I guess seeing in person is more important. Like you want to, cause like when yes. You pick out a Christmas tree, you want to see it.
Well, yes. Because like what happened was at this Christmas tree at Michael's, Tommy was like, the texture's weird. I don't like this texture. And it's like, contemplating, I'm like, oh my God, but this is exactly why you shop in person. And then I don't understand why people prefer to get things delivered, not like the item, and bring them back, take a trip to the post office, the FedEx, that is so, I hate going there, waiting online, hauling my stuff. I'd rather go in the store, take an extra 10, 15 minutes to decide if I really want this item. I don't buy things, try them on at home and return them. Hell no. Hell no.
Oh my God. And this is actually awful because I did see this one news story once about like, and it was just like the London Amazon dump where like all the stuff that gets returned, how they just like kind of burn it. Like not a lot of it gets reused. And I did feel so, I was like, oh my God, I'm a bad person because I do buy so much stuff and then return it, which is bad. After I saw that news story, I was like, oh my God, never mind. Because when you think about it, I guess like there's not like a lot of the time when you return stuff, especially clothes, I get like they would have to say it's used to resell it. Like it's like even hard for them to resell it, I guess. Or so they're just like throwing this stuff away. But I mean, you're in the right here, but it's just a pure laziness too.
I get it.
You can find everything online, you know, like you can just search and there's everything you could ever want.
Yeah, true. But sometimes just the quality is poor and nothing makes me more mad than getting like a piece of garbage or like something like during COVID, like most depressing thing ever, I didn't get to have my baby shower and all my baby stuff. I had to just figure out what I wanted online. I couldn't go in person and figure it out. And then of course I wanted to buy baby clothes to wear my third trimester. And so I ordered stuff from H&M, which COVID times, it took almost 4 weeks to come. And when I got it, you know, H&M, like a store like that, the sizes are always wacky. So of course, more than half the stuff I ordered didn't fit me. Too big, too small, ugly, but I had to return most of it. Like it is so sad to me to have to take those steps. So I'm an in-person shopper and I will be for life.
Okay. I know, like you've sold me. If I wasn't so lazy, I would also be sold. Okay. Well, now that we've discussed, I'm like our week, which is pretty boring after Halloween, we've really hit a lull, but there's been a lot happening this week in the news and we should get into it. Don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. It's like so wild. I think what we're about to talk about.
I know. Should we take a little quick break and we'll come back? We're going to do just a quick.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. And we're back. Okay. So we're going to just talk quickly about Astroworld because, and like, it's, you know, the news is still developing and it's still pretty new and I'm still even, it's crazy. So what we know right now, and I'm sure anyone listening is, everyone's heard about this already, like this tragedy at Astroworld Festival in Houston, which, is like a concert festival. And while Travis Scott was playing, 8 people died during the concert from just overcrowding and overpacked show. And now there's 2 other people that I sent you those stories. Like there's 2 people on life support, a 9-year-old boy and another like 21-year-old or 22-year-old man who don't seem like they're going to make it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's so tragic. And the first thing, what did you think when you first heard that news? Like, have you been to a concert like this before?
No, and I'm too scared to. Like especially when I was in my 20s or like college years, all those people that were going to like Lollapalooza, like what are the other concerts like that where everybody
Bonnaroo.
Yeah, that's always seemed to be really trendy and everybody dresses up in certain
Coachella days. Even, yeah.
Coachella. So there's this like fashion sense everybody has, which always seemed like the most intriguing part to me. And then you're in like a big field and I just always had this feeling of like, this is makes me feel claustrophobic and scared. Like, what if I don't feel well? What if I use the bathroom? Like, what if I can like lose touch with somebody? And like a cell phone doesn't work. There's no like point to find someone in a crowd. And concerts I go to are you sit in your chair and watch some person singing. I absolutely will never even consider the idea of going to a concert like this for the rest of my life. And my child absolutely won't be either. This is horrifying. And I read some people's accounts, which discussed how they felt like being sucked down into a hole of people, like piling on top of one another, screaming bloody murder, trying to get saved, feeling like no one can help them. Like, I think that 9-year-old boy that you were just mentioning, he was on his father's shoulders. And then the dad felt so crushed by people, he couldn't breathe and lost consciousness. I hope I'm not making this up. And then-
no, that's true. What's crazy to me, it's like, I've been to a lot of concerts that I would say were like festivals and like packed like this. And I'm actually, I'm shocked that this hasn't happened more often, but this reading about the environment that Travis Scott seems to cultivate at his shows, that kind of explained a lot to me. Like he, cause I've been to, you know, and especially in high school and college, I would go to shows where there were mosh pits. And yeah. I will say, obviously I hate them. Like I would get annoyed when they would start popping up next to me during shows. Cause I'm like, oh, now I have to move. Like now you're creating a dangerous environment and like people crushing on each other. I've definitely been to shows like that. Like the one that sticks out in my head that I remember like in high school going to an Eminem concert. And it was at this giant old football stadium in Washington, D.C. And like Limp Bizkit had just played before him. And we were like, me and my friend were right in the front, like right near the barricade, like to get to the stage. And I mean, Limp Bizkit was crazy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, crazy in a, again, like you do have to, you were like moving with the crowd. But then something happened when Eminem came on stage. People started getting great, like wild and packing. I just remember like being pushed so hard, like where you couldn't, it was getting so scary. But I remember it was Eminem stopped the music because I mean, the crowd was that crazy. I'm sure he could recognize it. It's made them stop the music. And it was like so scary seeing his face because he was just like, everyone stop moving, take one giant step back.
Wow.
And the crowd literally stopped moving. I remember like, people just took a step back and then you like suddenly had this breathing room.
Wow.
And it stayed like that for the rest of the show. And it was crazy. And I was like, and that was so long ago. And I haven't been to a show like that since, like even like at music festivals that I've been to, I tend to stay more in the back, maybe as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
But the command that he had, and then you see all these videos of other artists who during their shows, when they see the chaos happening, can stop it and control the crowd. And it really, I think, highlights like Travis, and there were some videos of him maybe at one point he did say, okay, stop, like let this person get taken out. But you're cultivating an environment that is so scary, that is so about anger and like pushing, and you're hyping them up. And then to not recognize that that's getting out of control. I feel like he's so culpable, and that's sad because he had no idea that you don't expect this to happen, but the artists just have so much control.
They do.
It's wild.
And it's really impressive. It says so much. You just explained like, and we have seen a lot of examples of the artists telling the crowd, stop, I'm stopping the music, everybody be safe, and everybody responds. So just as well, everyone is going to respond to an artist who's saying, go harder, go more intense.
Oh my God, there's like a clip of him being like, make the floor shake with Travis Scott. And it's like, I can't imagine. And of course my mind goes to that morbid place, but it's like, can you imagine if you're one of those, because they said hundreds of people beyond even like the 8 to 10 people who are confirmed dead. And these 2 people who are unconscious, hundreds of other people were in the hospital for injury.
Yeah.
And like asphyxiation, imagine you're in a position where you can't breathe and you're so scared for your life. And then hearing the artist screaming, make the floor shake, like that sudden moment of terror, it just makes me sick for all the people who are there and for his fans, like how disappointing.
Yeah. It's awful. It's this real, like, you feel no one cares about you. No one's there to help you. And like you said, then they're making it worse. They want it to be more chaotic. It's really, I mean, the article you sent me from the Rolling Stone magazine was really good because his brand's really kind of different from all the other brands.
Yeah. And you know what's weird? I was thinking, so in that Rolling Stone article, it talks about like how Travis Scott is really just a corporation. Yeah. Like he has no, and that's why he has like such a hard time like seeming human, even in his response. The Rolling Stone article highly suggests everyone reads it. Do you have it up? Because I don't even know what the title.
I do have it up. It's called The Travis Scott Brand Wasn't Built for This.
Yeah, I'll link to it in our show notes too, because it was so interesting. And there was like I did think that BetterHelp, he did like quick, like almost the day after this tragedy, he comes out with a BetterHelp sponsorship, which is like BetterHelp is like a therapy app where, I mean, it's not, but it's a free month for the victims of this tragedy. And it's like, okay, coming on with a corporate sponsorship that quickly, I was like, that is in such poor taste. But then that article is like, so that's who he is. It's really like, he's not a person, he's a brand. Mm-hmm. And it kind of in a weird way reminds me of all the Kardashians. I feel like Kylie feels that way. And it's weird that they, in a weird way, seem like a perfect pair, because Kylie always felt like a little less human and more of a brand than her sisters. Kendall feels more human. And I wonder and it could be their PR people, because it's also like, these people are human.
Right.
And it could be the publicity around them or the corporate around them, but it feels just gross.
It is gross. It's so weird the way everything's changed. It's like, you know, because Travis Scott, it's like he pairs up, what's it called? He always has like a sneaker drop. He had like McDonald's like drops, like, and it's all about kids, young people grabbing these items just to say like, I got this, I got it. And it's about showing off on TikTok, Instagram, whatever social media everybody's using, and then selling it for 5 times the amount. And it's just all about, I don't know, it's like nobody's having like these human connections anymore. And it's like, this is exactly then what happened at the concert. It's not about caring about people's well-being. It's about how close can I get? How can I do whatever Travis says? How can I just be a part of this moment? And no one else matters. All anybody cares about, I feel, is just themselves and how they're portrayed in social media, not in real life.
And it's interesting because in that article too, it pinpoints like, that's why. And I believe this because I will say at other concerts, and we should get into that. I love that for her, which we should transition into soon because this is for Taylor Swift. And I will say, but even beyond like, that is such a, but other concerts, even like these punk rock concerts, like at a Metallica concert, I do think like, their fans have a camaraderie or like a feeling of like, we all love this specific thing for this. We're kind of together here.
Yeah.
And that was lacking at that Travis Scott concert because of everything you just said, because of how he is a brand. And it was less about like the feeling that you get from that music and more like what you could present by being a fan of his. Yeah. And I think all of those things put together just led to this awful tragedy. And let's see what happens. It's going to be really interesting, but I do think they're probably going to make it, and they should. I mean, hopefully he gets in trouble. I hope he deserves it.
I think he will. And he deserves it. And I hope the culture shifts a little bit around all of this. It's one of those things where it's so sad that it happened. But maybe by it happening, it'll change things a little bit. Cause this is awful. We need a shift.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's just take a quick little break. We're gonna come back with our favorite segment. I love that for her.
I love that. I love that. Okay, we'll be right back.
I love it. I love this. I love this. I love this.
And we're back. Okay, so I already spoiled a little bit of my I love that for her, but you should go first. Who's your first I love that?
Okay, mine are kind of quick this week. Sarah Jessica Parker, we've been seeing her filming the new Sex and the City. Let's see, Cynthia Nixon's in it. And oh my God, what's her name? Charlotte.
Kristen Davis. Everyone except Samantha, basically. It's like so screwed up.
Yeah, so I'm obsessed with the costumes. I think they're amazing. Oh my God, what fun that set must be.
I can't believe that show's coming out in December. Also, like when I saw Sarah, because she posted like it's going to come in December. That seems so fast. Like they filmed it the summer.
It also seems like it's just going to be like one season of episodes and that's it. That's, I kind of got that from something she just posted. I don't know. I just kind of thought, oh, they'll just do a few seasons again. But you know what? It makes sense that they wouldn't.
Well, maybe they'll see how the ratings do. I mean, I think people are going to watch it. I remember when the movies came out, people were like, no, I'm not going to watch because like the movies are, the show was so good. No, they say hang out with your best friends again. Of course you're going to, even without Samantha, which does break my heart, but it's like, no, these are like my friends. I want to hang out with them.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Of course I'm going to watch it. It'll be great. And so they're in, Sarah Jessica Parker's in her 50s. I think the other ladies are about the same and they look incredible. I love how Sarah Jessica is not all Botoxed up. She's got some gray hair showing through. I actually love her hair color right now. It's not like, almost not like natural looking. It's like really like harshly highlighted with some white blondes and some grays. And I'm really loving the way she looks. And she's on the cover of Vogue. And she's been saying how, you know, people are commenting that she's showing her wrinkles and commenting that she's graying and no one would ever do that to a man. And of course, we've been seeing it forever. When a man is graying, we call him a silver fox. We say he's sexy and looks stunning. And I know people were more accepting of the gray hair because no one could go and get their hair colored professionally during COVID. But she's right. It still happens to women. I don't know. Will it ever change? I don't know. But I love that Sarah Jessica's being real. And I imagine the show is going to show what it's really like for women of her age living whatever life she is living currently in the series. And not going to sugarcoat it and not going to pretend like everything's fabulous and wonderful. And I really love how Sarah Jessica Parker, it's just a real woman. So I love that for her.
I love that for her. And you're so right. It is crazy watching back old Sex and the Cities now and they're our age. Like when she's like sitting at that table and it's like the girl next to her is turning 25 and she's like, I'm old, I'm 25. And it's like Sarah Jessica's turning 35 in that episode. So she's like, you're even younger than me. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh. God. And then now, but at the time it was so progressive showing these women in their mid to late 30s. And now you're right. It is going to, I didn't read that Vogue article, but you're right. She is, it's like you forget how actually what they're doing, these women who are now in their 50s, 60s, showing like you can have a life, you have a full life. You're like, and looking great and being, and all the things that come with it. It is awesome.
Yeah. I love how real she is. And like you said, being progressive in the 30s, you know, when she was in her 30s in Manhattan and now in her 50s in Manhattan. And maybe she'll come back again in another 15 years and do Carrie and the ladies in their 70s. I mean, how cool would that be?
That would be amazing. Love that. Okay, my love that. Well, my first one, because we know I've spoiled my last one. But my next one is Keke Palmer was on Watch What Happens Live. She is so freaking talented. Like this, she can host. She's so funny. She's like the most, every like TikTok is like a meme of her, something that she said because she's so funny. But really quickly, they had this little bit about Lea Michele, which sent me spiraling because without getting too far into it, Lea Michele is my arch nemesis. And I had like, when I lived in New York, I just had enough run-ins with her from a waitressing job. And then when I like worked like as a little bit in like entertainment for a hot minute, and all my run-ins with her were horrible. And I'm not even going to blast her, you know, here, but she was just horrible in every situation. And on Watch What Happens Live, and I think Lea Michele got her comeuppance a little bit this year, just because which like, you know, felt great as her arch nemesis. And she, Keke Palmer did this thing where she was like, where is Lea? Because Andy asked her a question about like, oh, well, like, were you surprised? Which was kind of, Andy is pretty shady, but Andy was like, well, were you surprised that Lea Michele wasn't cast as Elphaba in Wicked, the movie?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Okay.
And Kiki Palmer's like, oh, you know, I was surprised. You know, I haven't actually never heard from her in a while. It's like, funny that you mention her. Where is she? And Karamo from Queer Eye was there, and the guest bartender, they just were making such, like, where is Lea? Like, and it was funny. I watched that clip probably so many times in a row, and just like, thank God for Kiki Palmer for giving. She's like a gift that keeps on giving. And
she is. She's great. Yeah.
I needed that this week. So that was, I loved that. Love that for her. Love that for me.
Yeah. Love that for you. I want to just quickly mention, this is like nothing new, but I want to just quickly mention Diane Keaton, who is still just so amazing and perfect in every way, in my opinion. She always has been. it's occurring to, okay, so two things. Is the first thing is you told me how you sent me this thing that she, what was it on Comments by Celebs, that Instagram account, how she like was, it was retweeting Diane does like this slideshow of men. I don't even know why.
It's so funny. It's just like all these young men, like, Diane, why are you posting this? It's just like a slideshow. It's like not even a slideshow. It's like a movie montage of just like hot pictures of men.
I the only thing I can think of is like, because she's really into interior design and architecture, and I almost feel like this is like her aesthetic somehow. That's like, she would have these photos in her house framed or something. But anyways, so Reese Witherspoon comments, Diane, the first one is my son.
Which is hilarious. A, because Reese Witherspoon's son, he's 18. I feel comfortable saying he is hot. Like, he is so good. He's like a, because he looks exactly like Ryan Phillippe. Like, he's so, but, because didn't Diane think it was Leonardo DiCaprio?
I don't know who she thought it was. I think, who the hell she knows? Tagged,
who the hell knows? She tagged Leonardo DiCaprio, which is weird because that montage was so many different. Was it all? No, because it wasn't after that first picture of Reese Witherspoon's son. It's not all Leonardo DiCaprio. It's just like different men. But I know she tagged Leo.
She did tag Leo. It's, I'm looking at it right now. I think it's like Rob Pattinson. It's like scrolling on my screen right now. Oh, Clint Eastwood looks like he's behind like cigarette smoke. I don't know who this man is with this mustache. I don't know. A Zane. I don't know what his
name is. Oh, yeah. Which, in poor taste, Diane. But she probably doesn't know.
She probably doesn't know. But she tagged him. So that's also like.
But she doesn't know about the Zane Gigi Yolanda stuff. Like, there's no way. She knows. And I guarantee she doesn't even know who these men are. She just like, also, where did Diane find all these like hunky pictures?
I don't know. She is just like, she is too much. Her Instagram account is, if anyone doesn't follow it, you should follow it, because it is, she is just such a delight. She really is. And she was at the Gucci runway show in LA looking fucking phenomenal, but she still has her own personal aesthetic to her style, you know, with her hat and the leather gloves. And oh my God, this woman, I mean, I'm in love with all her movies. I love her fashion sense. I just think she's a gem and should be protected forever and ever. So Diane, I love that you are just so lovely. I love that for her.
I love that for her. Okay, the moment I've been waiting for.
My God. Oh, my God. Here we go.
Okay. I don't want to get emotional, and I might get emotional.
Wow. Okay. Oh, my God. This is crazy.
I know. Like, it feels crazy. Okay. For those of you who don't know and are living under a rock, Taylor Swift is re-releasing all of her old albums because, like, she can't make the money. Her old record label, drama, drama, drama. Basically, they're evil. But the sum of it is, like, she's re-releasing all her old albums. This Friday, or more important, like at tomorrow, tonight at 9 p.m. because it's coming out at midnight Friday. So it's Thursday, Veterans Day tonight. And because I'm in LA, it's going to come at 9 o'clock. So you'll know where I'm going to be.
Yep.
She's dropping her re-release of Red, which is probably my favorite Taylor Swift album.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even put into words, like, I've been trying to think, like, why do I love her so much? And the love I have for her, and her fans do seem psychotic. When I'm like, also just looking at other people who love Taylor as much as I do, I'm like, why are we all like this? You know, I don't know. She gives me like a straight, thinking about this album coming out today, gives me like a straight shot of serotonin where I can like feel it through my toes up to my fingertips. Like, I'm so happy.
I wish I could get that. Wow.
It's like a drug. She's a drug. There's something in her. But this Red album is by beyond. It came out right before 1989, which was like her big like pop. But like Red is country pop. I would say it's like kind of like her folky, her last like folky pop up until now. We have like Evermore and all that. But, and there's one song on it. And I don't want to belabor my Taylor point. Mm-hmm. But I do want to explain to you. There's this one song on it called All Too Well. Okay. Which I would say is probably the greatest song ever written. And this is not hyperbole. And there is, okay. So she's putting out like the song itself already is pretty long. I think it's like 4 or 5 minutes long. And she's putting out a 10-minute version on this album, which is like, she's talked about how before when she first wrote it, it was 10 minutes long, but she had to cut it. It's her song where she like plays it live at shows. She gets like the most emotional. And this song is about, and I just want to, I think Jake Gyllenhaal should be shaking in his boots tonight. Jake Gyllenhaal is quivering. Jake Gyllenhaal should be really scared that everything he did to her 10, 15 years ago is about to, because they dated in 2010. So it was like about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And when that album first came out, her first single was Never Ever Getting Back Together, which was about Jake.
Okay.
And there's always been the rumblings like this song All Too Well is about Jake.
Okay.
And basically in the song, what she describes is that Jake Gyllenhaal is kind of a jerk. And when they dated, she was 19 and he was 28, which now thinking about it, I'm like, ew.
Yeah. That's a little like different life experiences going on.
Yeah. And I was a Jake Gyllenhaal girly. Like I bought the DVD of Bubble Boy, you know, like.
Yeah. You were really into him, right? Like, I feel like you were like, oh my God, he's so hot. Like all the time you used to say that when we were in like college.
Okay. I don't like the face you made when you said all the time I would talk about how hot Jake Gyllenhaal was. Okay. I did. Minnie and Taylor have that in common. We both fell for Jake Gyllenhaal's.
Right. Fell. That's what I remember.
Oh my God. And I do remember like any guy that kind of looked like, even if he was like, he looks like he was Jake Gyllenhaal's cousin who like didn't get cooked right. I was like, yum. Like close enough. But he just like, in All Too Well, she describes like how he brings her, they drive up to his parents' house in upstate New York, and how his mom is like showing her pictures of him as a child, and like she's falling in love, deeper in love with him, and he's like, you know, you're gonna be in my love forever. And she's like, oh my God. There's this one iconic moment where she talks about how she wore this scarf that he still has, and like she left it at his sister Maggie's house and he still has it and thinks about her even now, but then he breaks her heart. Like he breaks her teenage little heart, and he's like this adult man, and she's like, how dare you, you're an adult man, you knew exactly what you're doing, and I was this young teenage girl falling in love with you,
right?
And you led me on and you used me and you abused me, but now I'm better off without you. And it's like a great anthem.
Okay.
So tonight that 10-minute version is going to drop. I'm going to probably lay in bed crying. Oh my God, I don't really know. You know, it's going to be tough. And like, it's tough even because my boyfriend is coming over and and I think he humors me a little bit with the Taylor Swift, but I was like, at 9 o'clock, we're going to get weird. I'm going to need a minute alone. I'm going to need to be able to explain every And I'm probably not going to be able to listen to it in the entirety of the, I need to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's definitely going to be an album I'm going to have to sit with for a couple of days with her new mature and like her new like 31-year-old voice, you know, singing these songs that she sang at 22, 21.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I'm here. I just want to hear that how she reads the filth to Jake in this 10-minute version.
What is the name of this song again?
All Too Well.
All right. I mean, I guess I have to listen to her.
Oh, yeah. Please do yourself the favor and just think about the entire time. This is Jake Gyllenhaal and like destroyed for me forever. I can't even look at a man with droopy blue eyes. You know, I'm like, droopy blue eyes. How dare you? How dare you? You are a bad man.
Wait, so because you're such a diehard fan of Taylor, I understand that you don't like Jake Gyllenhaal because of that, but you don't like any man that resembles Jake Gyllenhaal now because. Yeah. Okay.
Those bedroom eyes. Like I just can't look at them the same. You know?
So, do you not see any Jake Gyllenhaal films? Like.
Oh, no, of course I do. Well, he's also taken a turn and I also, but no, I still see Jake Gyllenhaal films, although he hasn't made very many good movies lately. And I think that's on what he did to Taylor. That's karma.
Oh, interesting. Interesting take on that.
Yeah. So I hope everyone feels educated. Everyone runs to just to get the feeling of, you know, I wish everyone could feel the joy that I get.
I do. Because
like, is this what drugs are like? Like, I don't like it. This feels like it has to be like, you know.
I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. I'm like jealous that you are feeling this way about a song. Like it hasn't even come out yet. And you're already this amped up. Like I'm trying to think if there's something that I could get this high from. And I don't think there is. So
I will say, and like, if my sister's listening to this, I have to, there's this one time me and my sister were supposed to go to a Taylor Swift concert. Mm-hmm. And she ended up bailing last minute. And I literally I was in DC. And this is like, I was an adult. Like, no, I mean, obviously an adult. I was 28.
Okay.
29. I threw myself on the floor of my mom, like at my parents' house, so upset. I was like, you guys, I have to fucking go. And my mom went with me.
Oh, I mean, thank God someone went with you. Holy cow. Like,
you know, and like when I think about throwing myself on the floor, like I am, what a loser.
What?
Like, that was tough, but
the dramatic.
That's where we are.
Oh, God. Well, I think this is more like, I love that for you, Denise, more than thank Taylor. You. Yeah.
I love that for me. I love that for her that she can have this effect on so many people. That must be powerful. But also, I love that for her that she's getting to re-release this album.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to be great. And she knows the hold she has on us. You know, she knows what she's doing. And I love that for her.
All right. Can't wait. I mean, I'll listen for your sake.
I appreciate that. Okay. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with our Bravo recaps of the week.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Okay, and we're back. And let's start. We're going to do, because Beverly Hills is over, so this week we're doing, of course, Winterhouse, and then we'll end with Salt Lake. But let's start with Winterhouse. Because I didn't take many notes. This show is just so fluffy and fun and ridiculous that it's, you know, but I had a couple of thoughts. One of them was, I hate that they call him Andy, Andre.
Yeah.
And then he's also, which is weird. And then on Watch What Happens Live, he was saying like how he changed his last name from whatever the Italian version was to Denver. So now he's like, and I'm like, Andy Denver. I do feel like a compassion for him because I'm like, I changed my name because my name is spelled D-E-N-I-Z because I'm Turkish. And like when I was like in school, I changed it to Denise because D-E-N-I-S-E just because it's easier for people to say and it was whatever.
Yeah, I get it.
But Andy Denver, something about it I did not like. I think Andy Denver is gross. I don't see his sex appeal at all or why Paige is so into him. Gross.
Let's just call him Andy Denver from now on.
Even Luke, when Luke is trying to learn Italian, he's like, hey, Andy, can you tell me like, how do I say this in Italian? I'm like, Andy? Andy.
I know, with it because he does have such a beautiful accent, so it's like it should be Andrea, right? I always say Andrea, but also, whatever. Okay, so
Andy Denver. But why does Paige love him so much? And
I don't know.
Okay. Also, would you have told if you were Amanda? So there was this whole, one of the plot lines was that Andy Denver tells all the guys and the girls behind Paige's back, who's a girl who he's been hooking up with in the house, who he's been kind of like stringing along. He tells them all behind her back, like he's not really into dating anyone. He wants to stay single. I didn't think it was as dramatic as like they made his response, but he was like, I want to be single after this, I guess. It did feel whatever. But the dramatics, would you have, and then Amanda starts crying because she's like so afraid of having to tell her. Would you have told? Like, how would you have felt like if you were Amanda in that situation?
I mean, I felt bad for Amanda. I think, you know, Paige is one of her best friends. So, okay. It all boils down to who it is I'm dealing with. Like you versus, you know, five other friends, you know, how I think you would respond. But I think what was hardest for her was she saw how excited Paige was, especially how Paige was like bummed out that she didn't get invited on a date, and then she gets invited on a date and it was a romantic date, and then to be fed this information, and then I think it was Lindsay who was like, you need to tell her. And that sort of pressure, I hate when people do that to me. It's like, let me do this on my own terms, which is what Amanda was trying to do. So I would have of course told my girlfriend, but if I was literally in Amanda's shoes on this show, I understand why she hesitated, because Paige was all excited. And when do you burst the bubble? No matter when she would have burst the bubble, it would have hurt, you know? And so Lindsay swooping in to just like drop the bomb on Paige was, I don't know, that was like a producer induced thing, but.
Oh, you're right. It probably was producer. Cause I did feel like I feel bad, because I was thinking like, do you even tell your friend? Because also maybe Andy, Andrea, isn't what he's saying behind her back. Maybe he's like trying to play it cool. Like you don't really, and I mean, obviously it worked out for the best. Like I do think he was kind of a douche, but it's also like what maybe that was, he was saying those things before they went on that date. So like maybe after the date he had changed his mind. And then like, I think Paige's reaction was great. Like was more composed than I would have been, because they're basically, they were making it so much worse. Like he's saying he doesn't like you. Like he doesn't want to be with you. And I'm like, that's not really what he said.
No, that's not what he said. I think he was just like, look, I'm not looking to like date, like how Sierra and Austin seem to be like really into each other. And like, oh, maybe something like a real boyfriend girlfriend relation could come of this. I think he was just saying like, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking to have fun. But I think with any person, it's always like, you say that, and if it turns into something, so it changes. There's no hard, fast rules, but I, bottom line, my answer to your question is it really depends on the friend, how I would handle that. So I felt bad for Amanda that she got all stressed to tell Paige. And Paige didn't know it.
How much would you kill yourself too if you were Craig's, the ex-girlfriend who he's like trying to call on the phone all the time, who's never there? And then as he's saying, when he said in his one confessional, like, oh yeah, I liked Paige at first. We've just never been single at the same time. Cause knowing now Paige and Craig are dating, if I was ex, I'd be like, you motherfucker.
I mean, I don't think he was doing anything wrong by saying that.
No, but it's gotta sting. It's gotta sting, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they broke up. I don't know if that's like public information why they broke up, but I mean, I think they said that it was cute to know that.
I know it was cute. And like, that was sweet, because that's before they started dating. And you can see like, they do have a good chemistry. Like they have more chemistry to me than like, Sierra and Austin, whose chemistry, I can't see at all. I don't see those two people having sex ever. That's like the most sexless flirting I've ever seen on TV. And maybe it's just because I find Austin to be so sexless. I don't know, but there's did not see them at all, like really compatibly. Also the same with Jason and Lindsay, like those awkward moments when you like, also this, maybe this episode was just all awkward first pre-dating moments with Gabby and Luke.
Okay, wait, we have to talk about that.
Let's talk about this. Okay, tell me your thoughts about Gabby and Luke.
Okay, so Gabby has a crush on Luke, and the previous episode had gotten upset at her friend Julia because she felt like Julia was like flirting with Luke, even though Julia has a boyfriend. So Luke, as we see as viewers, has a crush on Julia. Gabby flat out told Luke, which credit to her. A lot of girls can't do that. I give her a lot of credit for being straightforward. And she was drinking with, it doesn't matter. She said, hey, like, I like you. I'm interested in you. And he rejects her. No, I'm good. Thanks. And then she goes, listen, this doesn't have to be like a boyfriend, girlfriend thing. Like, I'm all good with no strings attached. Rejected again.
That killed me. It killed me because he was very nice about the rejection, and she was drunk to be laying on the table that hard. Like, no, there's no strings attached. She's basically saying, I just want to hook up with you. Do you want to just hook up with me? Like, nothing at all. And he's like, no, thanks. Like, no, I just want to be friends.
I'm good. I mean, that was look, I think both parties, I respect, like, I like that Luke was honest and that he wasn't just like, oh, cool, I could just like get a girl right now. Sure, why not? Like, so I don't think Luke did anything wrong. I just feel really bad. Like, that's so painful for
it is her. Painful. And also when he said, because he was lying. I mean, he lied when he was like, you know, I'm just here to drink beer. I'm not here to find a girl. No, Luke, because he likes Julia. Yep. And it's like, that is crushing to being in Gabby's shoes. Like, no, he's not just rejected. Because like when they say, it's not you, it's me. No, it's you. Like, he just didn't want you. And that was hard to watch. I mean, it made me feel for her. And no, he didn't do anything wrong, but still, you just are like, oh. But then, okay, then he slips Julia a note later, being like, he slips her a note, who's Gabby's friend, slips her a note saying, do you like me? Check yes or no. Which, if it was a guy you like slipping you a note like that, swoon. Like, how cute.
Totally. Totally.
You'd be like, but Julia's reaction was like as if, like, Jeffrey Dahmer had given her that note. She was like, how dare he? Disgusting. And Luke is hot. So for anyone who, I don't know why you're listening to this recap if you don't watch. I mean, he's a dork. He's a little uncomfortable, but he's so hot. In a way that Andrea, Andy Denver is not hot to me. Like, Luke is really, really attractive. So like, if he, even, I guess if he had slipped me that note, I would, even if you don't want to, like, is it just flattering? No, she reacted like it was like horrifying, like disgusting.
Well, if you really don't like someone, any sort of move like that is repulsive.
That's true.
It really is like, he didn't do anything wrong. He was going for it. He was taking a shot. And yes, she has a boyfriend, but whatever, people still take a shot because you never know. But unfortunately, it was no good. And then when he was like, let's go upstairs and talk. And she's like, I'm stopping this right now. Like, I am not getting into a room with you. I am not putting myself in a situation where this could be potentially like, it would become more uncomfortable. Like, let's keep it more public. I'm stopping it right here. We could be friends, moving on. Like, oh my God, just all that is so painful to watch.
Painful to watch. And also watching Luke get rejected. And there's like girls online, like there's some Bravo accounts who hate Luke so much. And maybe I'm a problem. Like, what am I attracted to this toxic fuckboy? Like, I don't know what I feel bad for him. Like, watching him get so hardcore rejected by Sierra, then getting so hardcore rejected by this Julia girl, like, and the visceral reaction of their rejections is like, ooh, did he deserve like that hard of a, ooh.
I don't care for him. Like as far as a viewer, I'm not like, oh, I feel like I would want to date him. Like, I'm just coming from that perspective. Nope. And then, you know, it was weird. Be like, remember how they were all like flashing back to all, cause so they did this theme party where they all dressed like somebody from high school. And then they showed pictures of everybody from high school. And then they all kind of described what they were like in high school. And Luke was like, yeah, I was prom king and I was like an athlete. And I was like, wait a second. So you're that guy, but then you're also the guy who's like building igloos in the backyard and is like real down to earth and low key. Like, who are you?
He's definitely that. Well, because the way he said it was also so embarrassing for him, because in that, when they were like all screaming out what they were or whatever, it was like, who was homecoming king? And Jason, who's like, you know, just another model, in that all these people are models, but he was like, I was the prom queen king. And you could just hear Luke off camera being like, hey, I was the homecoming king too. It's like, okay, settle down, dude. Like, it's okay. Yeah. Like, yeah. We get it. You were hot in high school too, probably. Like, okay.
Yeah, I think almost all of them were somewhat like, you know, the most popular kid in school. I feel like they all were.
Of course. They all like, yeah, like all these very attractive people on a Bravo show. I'm not.
Not surprising.
Not surprising. And they're all models, which is like another.
Right. It's. Whatever. Yeah.
Whatever. I do. I mean, except for all, I mean, that's why also why Austin and Craig just stick out, like, compared to the other men in this house, they're just like slobs on a knob, you know? Also, okay. But also then the other thing that really just triggers me about watching the show is how dirty that freaking house is. That house is so disgusting. And like being on a group trip with people, like even when we go on a girls trip, the house gets pretty gross, you know, it could get gross. All of the, and the house looks small. It does not look, that kitchen is teeny.
Yeah, that house is really small. I don't understand that house.
That isn't a luxury ski house at all. Like that you would think, why couldn't they have found something bigger? The rooms all, even Paige and Sierra's bed looks small.
And then they just like trash it every night. They trash it. So.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, I was like getting up at, I was like feeling sticky when I was watching them pouring the champagne, like the champagne tower. I was like, it's falling all over the floor. It's sticky everywhere. This is so gross.
But then also I'm like, okay, but shouldn't it be fun to like let go and like be disgusting and sticky? I know. It's like, I go both ways. Which way do I want to go with this?
Fun. You're right. It would be fun to be just disgusting and sticky. Yeah,
well, and I only say that with like champagne or beer, nothing else. Just, you know.
And also, I mean, 2 weeks and they can't, I think at one episode they said like they couldn't get a cleaning person because of COVID, which, okay. And like, who wants to be the one that's cleaning? Especially when you're staying with all these boys too. I'd be like, ugh, like.
It's disgusting. So disgusting. You don't even like know some of these people at all.
Ugh. No, I mean, it is disgusting. All their beds are just, I mean, it's hard to judge. Yeah. And also you're just hungover all the time. So who would want to be cleaning? But
I'd have to detox so bad from that trip.
Oh my God. Yeah. Just 100.
Take another week.
What were your thoughts about watching Lindsay on Watch What Happens Live? It made me hate Austin more and I feel really bad for Lindsay.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate Lindsay's honesty. She's really shoot straight. And I love that because so many people would have been like, you know, like coy about it. And so if anybody watches Watch What Happens Live, it might've only been a week ago. And I don't even remember if we discussed
it. Yeah, it was last week.
It was last week in real time. Lindsay was in the audience while Austin was on the show. Lindsay was there with her aunt and Austin's sister. And then like Andy kept asking questions, who's prettier or a better kisser? Like all these really uncomfortable questions between, and Austin had to pick between Sierra and Lindsay, and he picked like Sierra the whole time. And then we heard, and Lindsay explained, she clarified. She's like, I just left right after. It was literally the most humiliating experience in my life. And
which I was surprised because good for her because yeah. It was humiliating. It was lie in that situation, Austin. It was so unnecessarily truthful. Like, and why isn't Lindsay in the audience with you? And it was more like he was making it worse for her. And like in that episode, she had done the like, I love you confessional. And like, he was playing it up so much like, oh, she's crazy. Like, oh, she does love me. Like, ew, no. Yeah. And it's like good for her that she just got up and left like after that was over and blocked him. And I like when she was like, you know, it maybe it's not forever, but for now I need a break from.
Yeah.
This man who is very, who should not treat me this way. That's not how friends treat each other. And I'm like, right. Good for you.
Yeah. She's just, she's like, I'm not feeling respected. I'm not feeling comfortable. I understand like we're not dating, but he is supposed to be like my closest friend and I'm not okay with this. So taking a break. So yeah, good for her. And I liked how she was just really honest about it all. I mean, you guys should watch the Watch What Happens Live. Watch What Happens Live is so worth watching. After
well, worth watching. And you know, and I missed it. I just saw the clip because I watch, because I'm a fake Gen Zer. I watch them on YouTube, you know, I want to be cool with the cool kids.
Oh my God. I can't watch YouTube. I can't watch anything on YouTube. Like my sister does that. I'm like, what, how? So that's you, I guess.
I probably watch YouTube more than I watch it, which is weird, but like it's weird. Like Bravo puts on the full episodes of Winter House and Salt Lake. And they put so many Watch What Happens Live clips on their YouTube channel. So a lot of the time, okay. like I'm just watching. So I watched, I just played a clip from last week that I missed when Chrissy Teigen was on Watch What Happens Live.
Okay, I didn't see that. Yeah.
He told this story about, Andy told the story about like how one night last week, Teresa Giudice was texting him like, or calling him like crazy because her and her fiance had gotten tickets to see John Legend at Madison Square Garden. And they paid like $2,000 for these tickets, but they ended up being fake tickets. And she was like, you need to call Chrissy Teigen right now and try to help us get these, get in. And Andy was like talking to Chrissy. And like, he did, he like contacted Chrissy and she was like, oh my God, if I was there, she's like, I'm home with the kids. Like, all the comps were taken. There was like no more comps left. She was like, I would have escorted Teresa in myself. And she was like trying to get her into like the next night that John had a show at like Foxwoods in Connecticut. And it was just so funny because hilarious that Teresa is like calling Andy, like, we got to pay tickets to John Legend. You got to get me in. But I love that Andy and Chrissy Teigen are like springing into action to help Teresa. Like, how do we get her into the show? But shows also the power that Chrissy Teigen has but doesn't have. Like, can you imagine? You can't even get
good point
tickets to your husband's show. She's like, all the comps are gone. I'm like, Chrissy Teigen would even need a comp? Like, can't she just call and be like, get them in, you know?
I guess there's just literally no seats, like literally nowhere to go. Oh, I didn't know. That's funny. I didn't hear that story.
It was so funny. And they didn't say how it ended because I was like, how did she get the tickets? Did she get in? Did she go the next night? I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, we'll never know. We'll never know. all right. Let's do we even need to take a break? Let's not even take a break because let's go right to Salt Lake. And because we've been talking about Beverly Hills for all these weeks, Salt Lake, I'm so happy we get to talk about it. It's so much more fun. And there's still crime. And the crime is, I would say, arguably, in this situation, Jen Shaw committed the crime, you know, before it was Erica's husband. But there's something just more, and it's not, what she did is awful, but I can't even, let's talk about Salt Lake.
Okay. So, first of all, you're good at explaining. So you should explain just the bottom line of what Jen Shaw, who is one of the housewives, was accused of.
Okay. So it's like even hard. I don't really even understand. But she committed this scam, which was like she was creating these fake businesses that would pretend like, and they would set up these fake websites for these fake businesses. And like, they would have like a fake name, like a whole fake company that would provide a service like insurance for your broken window. Like if you break a window, it's window insurance, like some scammy thing that you don't need, but they would scam elderly people mostly into being like, hey, you got to pay for this. You know how we get all those scam calls now that are like, oh, you need to redo your insurance premium or whatever. She was basically one of the people setting up, and she was at the head of this ring of people setting up these fake companies that would get elderly people mostly because they would fall for it. These phone scams being like, oh, you need to pay for this fake service. And then they would pay. They would get their credit card information and then charge these people every month for this fake service. And then she would sell the people who would fall for the scams. She was selling their information to other fake scam companies.
Oh my God.
To then be like, you can scam these people. I mean, it's bad. And there's so many people in this like fraud pyramid scheme of like awful that have been charged before her. And she's one of the tops. She's like one of the people at the top, and they're all getting prison, like 10 to 25 years prison time, like bad, bad, bad what they're doing. Her Stu, who is her assistant on the show in this company, and she sells him on the show as her personal assistant. But from like what has been exposed in all these court documents and everything, and he's also been charged with a federal crime because he was an assistant in this company, helping her with this company. And he sold her out. He's spun on her. He's turned. He's
giving her. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. And her court date was supposed to be in October, but she was able to petition to move it to March because her defense team needs more time to come up. This one is going, like, there's almost no way she's not going to prison because of just everything that's, there's so much evidence against her. Stu turning on her, and who was her closest confidant. They got arrested together. And the way this woman got arrested.
It was so good.
So good. And they captured it on. So, and this is why I think this kind of separates what happened. A, it's separate from, completely different than Beverly Hills, because in the Beverly Hills case with Erica, Erica didn't commit any of the things that, it was all her husband.
Yeah.
And also none of those things are technically federal crimes. I mean, they are, what he did was, I mean, he frauded people out of money that he owed them, but it's a civil case.
Right.
Which is so different. And this is a federal criminal case against Jen Shah. And when they came to arrest her on camera, they had the Homeland Security, a SWAT team, the NYPD, the FBI. Like, they're not coming for you unless you are fucked.
It was so amazing to watch. I was like, this was gold, television gold. And like you said, the fact that it was like the legit SWAT team, there was a guy with so SWAT uniform there to get her, the NYPD, like, who else was there? It was like, you know, bulletproof vests, everything.
Crazy. And okay, all these women, and setting up this scene, like, these women are sitting, they're supposed to go on this trip to Vail, and they're sitting in this limousine. And then Jen Shah, like, she gets a phone call. I don't even know if we need to recap it, because if you're listening to this, I hope you watched it. But she gets like a phone call from who we don't know. We thought it was her husband, but they don't say in the Chyron, like, who calls her. Mm-mm. It could have been Stu, her accomplice, who turned on her.
It could have been her husband.
Could have been her husband. Okay, so she gets a phone call, and the phone call, we don't hear on the other end. But she suddenly, you see her face drop. Gentile's like,
yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
And they haven't left. They're still also just sitting in this limousine. They haven't left yet.
Because they're waiting for all the girls to arrive.
Wait, and yeah, they're all coming in. It's like flight and bubbly. She immediately asks one of the girls to take her mic off. And then she makes up a lie, which, wow, on the spot. A, she says, you guys, I got to go. My husband is in surgery for
internal,
what is
internal bleeding.
Like, he's internal bleeding. I gotta go, which is so extreme. Like, what? You're suddenly internal bleeding.
Well, I guess she wanted to come up with something so serious that it was like no one could question. Oh, come on. Like, it's okay. Who knows? I mean, who?
Too descriptive. It could be like, I have a family emergency. I gotta go. And she was also taking so long to leave. I was like, if I had just gotten a call that was like, the feds are coming, like, they were at the house, like, you're in trouble, I would have been lickety-split, left my bags behind. I mean,
no. I would have just ran. Like, I would have just called my assistant number 3 and run into the, not ran from the cops. Is that what I'm trying to say?
But I don't want to be on TV getting arrested.
Right. Like, I would have run while she could. Oh my God. I wish we saw it though. I wish it happened on TV, but what we did see was good enough. I mean,
it might, because they, I mean, next week, because so she calls, but slowly, and they say it's 12 minutes. It just feels like she's taking so long. Explain, and she's probably in shock, because you can see she's like, yeah, okay, I gotta go. Don't wait for me. Gotta go, grabbing her stuff, and gets back in a truck with her assistant and leaves. And the women are sitting there, like, contemplating, like, do we stay? Do we go? Okay. And then the SWATs, and then they see all the FBI. They see the FBI coming. They're like, what's going on? Lisa Barlow's reaction to me, I felt how she was reacting. Like, oh my God, like, the severity was hitting her. Whitney, the other, Jenny seems out of space. Like, she doesn't know what's going on. She's just like,
Jenny was like, let's just go. Who cares?
Yeah. And then let's go. Who cares? Heather, I would have thought it was a prank at first too, maybe. But then, and Heather's going outside. I did not like when she's like, oh, I'm so scared of the popo. And you guys are
saying like, popo. I was like, this is like not the police you call popo. Like, no, Heather, no.
Yeah, this is not them. FBI. I know. And it's like, are you trying to be cool? Like, they're, and they're like, no, we're just here to, where's Jen Shah?
They're very serious. We want to make sure she's okay. We want to make sure, do you want to make sure she didn't go like kill herself, because you need her. You want to capture her.
Yeah, they're not like, is she okay? How she, and like, she's like, well, she just said her husband was sick. I did also. Okay. And then when they get back in the car, they didn't get back. Heather gets back in the car and explains what happens. When she says, should we call Jen and let her know? And Lisa Barlow is like, I do not think you should. I was like, yeah, do not. Like, Lisa, you're
don't get involved. Do not get involved.
Okay. But then I was asking, would you have called? Let's say it was like our four best friends from college. Jackie, it would most likely be Jackie. Guess the feds come looking for her. You don't send her a text to warn her? Like,
I would have if that thing. Okay, if she didn't say like my husband's bleeding internally, because Whitney picked up on it immediately. Whitney's like, something's up here, because she had me turn her mic off.
Yeah,
this was weird. That was weird. So she pieced it all together real fast. So if that didn't happen, and then so we're on vacation, and then the cops show up to find one of you, I would have contacted you. Yes. But with that fishy stuff that happened prior, I would have been like, let me take a step back from this. This is very suspect.
Very suspect. And true. Like, I was like, yeah, Lisa was right. Like, Heather, you'd be an accomplice maybe then. Because like, maybe then you could get in trouble being like, you're warning them where we're coming. Like, I don't know.
It's best but to wild. Stay uninvolved.
Stay uninvolved, which like, yeah. And they're not. And I would say, yeah, because and Lisa and Heather are probably Jen's closest friends, and it's like, but just the way that Lisa said, I would not do that. I'm like, yeah, I would not do that.
So good.
Oh my, and I okay. Beyond that, I also had another. Can we talk about Mary? There's this crazy world, and like, Mary is this crazy. There's never been a character like her on any reality show.
I don't even know anyone who exists like this in real life. She's like another planet, like another something, you know?
Another planet. And I can't even explain Mary in a summary if you don't watch this show. So
you have to watch.
You have to watch. She scares me on a level that like I've never been scared before. I would never want to make her angry. The way... Like, you remember when you were saying how Erica scared you? Like,
yeah.
The way that she was responding to Whitney at that fake Italian painting lunch or whatever.
Which, cheesy.
Terror. That I would not, I was so much more scared. Like, in that situation, I don't think I could have handled Mary. I would have been like, I'm so scared right now. She responded to me like that.
I thought about how you weren't afraid of Erica and I was. And then you were like, Mary's so scary. I mean, Mary is biting heads off. Like, she is, you know how people say someone is all bark, no bite? Like, she barks and bites.
She's
really aggressive. And because the episode before, she got in this crazy fight with Lisa because Lisa like casually said, oh, should I Google what you said? Like, just a passing comment. And she lost her mind on Lisa. Don't question me. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Like, it was so intense. And didn't she say, I get reactionary to people who question me? Something with her mother. It all boils down to her mother.
Yeah, and she's also like, the religion thing freaks me out because when Whitney was like confessing, saying to Meredith, like, one of Mary's cousins told me never make Mary mad. Yeah. And that everyone in Mary, because Mary runs the congregation at her church. Like, I guess she's there. All these, the religions on the show are like, I don't get, like, cause like they're some are Mormon, but like she's not Mormon. Mary is not Mormon. She's like some level of Christianity. That's like, it's not a normal. There's something because they're looking at Mary like she's God.
Yes, they are. Right. And
that's not that's like a different kind of weird religion. Like,
well, because they said that Mary's mother is painted on the walls of the church.
Her grandmother,
mm-hmm. Right. As though she's God holding Jesus's hand. And this is Mary's grandmother who she married the husband of.
Yeah.
And just to remind you, Mary is married to her step-grandfather?
Yeah.
Okay. So Mary, like you said, attacked Whitney. Why did she even attack Whitney? I don't even remember.
Oh, horrible because she had set Whitney up because like she was punishing her for something that happened before, but by like playing a prank because she didn't answer the phone.
She didn't answer the phone and she didn't call her back. And then she did that really childish thing by trying to like humiliate Whitney by sending her an invitation, trying to make her dress like a cheap mobster wife or something.
Yes, because it's this Italian lunch and she sent it to her like, yeah, dress like this. And then she was mad at Whitney for not falling for her trick.
Right.
For coming just, I'm like, she was like, oh, I made a joke and you didn't even follow through on it. Bitch, what?
Psycho. That's psycho. Insane to me. Like, what is, so you're mad that the girl is smart enough to not fall for you being a bully? Like, you're mean. And then the worst was when she kept calling her little girl.
Oh my, and the way she was saying, little girl, like, I did not like her tone. I did not like, that was, and it was also just heartbreaking watching Whitney screaming, like, I love you. Like, I'm defending you. It's like, oh God, hey, why do you love this woman? She's nothing but awful to you.
Yep. Because at that point, that's when I would say, all right, we're done. We're done because nobody speaks to me and treats me that way. Yes, I did always care for you, but look at what you're doing to me. I'm done with you. And then when Whitney and Meredith had that conversation that you just brought up a few moments ago, so interesting. So Meredith was fed this like little tidbit of information that, you know, from someone else, watch out for Mary. And so her and Whitney were having a conversation about it. And I am curious where that's going to go. That's not going to go well.
No, I'm so curious. I'm curious how Mary's going to react when she sees this, because it's not going to be great. And I mean, the fact that this show is giving us this Mary plotline, which is crazy, plus Jen Shaw, love it. Like, this is, thank God. I was really good. I was like kind of sad when Beverly Hills ending. I'm like, what are we going to have? Because Jersey doesn't start until
winter,
January. Yeah, like crazy. It doesn't start until 2022. So this show is great. The only other thing, next week is supposed to be incredible. Andy said it's the best hour of Real Housewives of any franchise ever, which is a hype.
It's hype. I don't want to be disappointed, so I will tread lightly on if it will be that good. But I'm sure it'll be great regardless. Like, it'll be good enough. For sure. And I like Salt Lake City. I liked it last year. And this is only the second season. But yeah. I'm really into these women. Like, I've gotten really into them. They're all really different. And they're all they're intense. I mean,
they're intense.
Yeah.
But they have real storylines. Like, they're and that's what's so I like am drawn that I think it's what sets them kind of apart. Like, they do all have their own very intense, very real stories. Like, Mary's story is very real, scary, but real. Heather's, like, her leaving that Mormon church, I feel like the religion thing is very interesting too. It's like interesting hearing that side. I mean, they all have something interesting going on. They all feel like they're not putting on a show, which is crazy because you'd think after this many years coming up with a new city and franchise and finding women who weren't just going to be all for show would be hard. But, and last year with Jen Shaw, I thought she was that. I thought she was like, oh, like, ugh, this one's so fake putting on a
Nope.
Little did we know.
I really questioned Salt Lake City. I was like, Salt Lake City? What? That's going to be a franchise? Like, I went to Salt Lake City a couple years ago on like my road trip and I was like, okay.
Like, did not realize. Now I want to go there. They also just make me want to ski so bad. I'm like, I want to be in a ski outfit. I want to go to Vail. Like, it sounds so luxurious.
I do too. I can't. Oh my God. I know. I want to live vicariously through all these snow bunnies.
I know, between Winterhouse and Salt Lake.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Exactly. All right. Well, this was like kind of more of a lighthearted week, I think.
Yeah. Well, we started off with this depressed, but I think I'm excited. Next week, I can't wait to hear you have to report back. I can't wait. I have to wait a week. And I'll try not, don't try to spoil it for me, but I can't wait to hear back on what you think about Taylor Swift.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought I was going to forget. I'll put in a reminder at the end of the show to remind everybody else too. All Too Well tonight drops at midnight. Everybody run.
I will do it for you. I'm not listening to the whole album. It's not happening. It's not. I'll listen to the one song. I'll work my way. I have no issue with Taylor Swift. She's fine for me, but I am nowhere near the fan you are.
We'll start with All Too Well and then we'll go from there.
Okay. I can start with that one song. That's no problem.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, and don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple. We're on all of the places where you can find podcasts. Now I put us on everything, so you have no excuse. I guess if you're listening, why am I hammering? I'm like, you better be listening. But you've made it this far.
Yeah. Thank you for listening all the way through. That's what we should be saying.
And thanks, Mom. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
See you next week. Bye. Record.